Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Well, on this teaching today, we continue with our messianic and prophetic study of the feasts of Israel given by the Lord to Moses on Mount Sinai in Leviticus 23. We are currently studying the Feast of Shavuot, Pentecost, which feast was fulfilled when Messiah Jesus ascended to heaven and poured out the Holy Spirit upon the house of Israel and all flesh who call upon the name of the Lord, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. The Holy Spirit now is available. God's Spirit is available to all who repent and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. They are sealed by the Holy Spirit. They are indwelt and baptized in Him. God lives in them, and they are the Lord's sons and daughters. This adoption that God now is doing, adopting men and women from every class and society, from every nation, began on the day of Pentecost. That was the birthday of the church. And it began the present dispensation of grace, the church age, which will continue and conclude at the rapture of the church. But it all began on the day of Pentecost nearly 2,000 years ago, 50 days after the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And He had promised the disciples that it was necessary for Him to go back to God His Father so that He could send the Holy Spirit in His place. So the Holy Spirit given and outpoured on the day of Pentecost to those who believe, who repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is Christ's divine representative on earth while He is absent, living in each and every born-again Christian. So we are to continue by the power of the Holy Spirit. We individually and corporately as the New Testament church, we are to continue the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth while He is in heaven. He tells us this in John chapters 14 through 16, Matthew 28, and Mark 16. Well, let's now look more closely at the Feast of Shavuot, the Feast of Pentecost. Last time we talked about the time element when Pentecost occurred, the 50th day after the Feast of First Fruits. And we've seen the parallel that just as God brought Moses and the children of Israel to Mount Sinai the 50th day after they left Egypt to give them the law, hence Shavuot is the birthday of the giving of the Torah, so the Lord Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit on the 50th day after He rose from the dead to begin the church age, to birth the church. Now there was another ceremony that God required for the Jewish nation to perform on the day of Pentecost, and that was the waving of two loaves made with flour and leaven. We read in Leviticus 23, verse 17, God says to Moses and to all of Israel, "You shall bring from your dwellings two wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour, they shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits to the Lord. And we're going to get into the spiritual significance of this in a moment. But let me just say that the rabbis speak of Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost, as the feast of the giving of the law, or really the birthday of biblical Judaism. So it was on the 50th day after God brought Israel out of Egypt that he wrote directly with his finger the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, on two tablets of stone. And remember, when Moses came down from the mountain, the people grew impatient. He was up there for 40 days and 40 nights, fasting and receiving the law from God. Remember what they did? They grew impatient. And they began to engage in unholy and immoral activity. And God slew 3,000 people when Moses came down from the mountain to witness their debauchery and their idolatry. And for that, God slew 3,000 people. Well, God, as Zola Levitt used to say, is an accurate bookkeeper, because in the New Testament, when Shavuot occurred and the birthday and formation of the church began, God saved 3,000 Jewish people who had gathered from the diaspora to Jerusalem to worship in the temple on the day of Shavuot. This is when Shimon Kefa, Simon Peter, gave his great Pentecostal sermon in Acts 2. 3,000 people were saved. And this is significant. Under the law, all of us are under the condemnation and death sentence of God. Under the old covenant, you and I, a covenant that Jew or Gentile could keep, because the law is perfect, we are imperfect. So, those who break the law, the penalty is death. But under the new covenant of grace, God grants us pardon and gives us eternal life. This is the difference between the Old Testament Shavuot under the Old Covenant and Shavuot under the New Testament. So we see here that there is indeed comparisons and contrasts between the Old Testament Pentecost and Pentecost under the New Testament. Pentecost is the birthday of the church. And under the New Covenant, when God poured out His Spirit on the day that Pentecost was fully come, He also wrote a new law, a new commandment, the commandment to love God first and our neighbor as ourself. And the only way we can do that is by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, who enables us to do this. This is the new law written by the Spirit on fleshly tablets of the heart and mind. Just as Yahweh promised to do in Jeremiah 31:31-34. This is new covenant language here, where God says through Jeremiah, "Behold, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, not like the covenant I made with them when I brought them out of Egypt." No, this new covenant would entail God writing His law upon their hearts and minds, changing them by giving them a new nature through His Spirit, so that they would want to follow Him and obey Him above all else. This is the work of the new covenant. First promised to the nation of Israel, and now extended to all nations of the world. Paul himself makes several contrasts between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, which can also be applied to the Old Testament celebration of Pentecost and the New Testament fulfillment of Pentecost. This comparison and contrast is seen throughout the Old Testament compared with the New Testament. And it's most succinctly, and I should say brilliantly, summarized by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. What are some of the contrasts in keeping with our current study of the Feast of Shavuot? What are some of the contrasts and comparisons that we have between the Old Testament Shavuot, or Pentecost, and the New Testament Pentecost? Well, let's look at them briefly. First of all, the Old Testament Pentecost was celebrated on the 50th day. And if you work out the chronology from the Exodus to the 50 days out, we have Moses bringing the children of Israel to Mount Sinai, where the law was given, the birthday of biblical Judaism. In the New Testament, Pentecost occurred also on the 50th day after Messiah Jesus rose from the dead. And on that day we have the beginning of the church, the birthday of biblical Christianity. The writing of the Ten Commandments occurred on the day of Pentecost on Mount Sinai when Moses went there to receive the law of the Old Covenant. Now, under the New Testament, Shavuot, God writes His commandments of love on the tables of our heart and mind. Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40, and Romans 13, 8 and 10. The law that was written by the finger of God on the day of Pentecost is also given in the New Testament era by the Spirit of God. Not in the old letter, but in the newness of the Spirit. Under the Old Covenant on Shavuot, 3,000 people were slain for their idolatry and disobedience to God. But under the New Testament Pentecost, as I mentioned earlier in this lesson, 3,000 people were saved with eternal life. And through their obedience of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Covenant was considered the administration of death. That is, it punished without exception, those who disobey it, whether in a small or large matter. Those who disobeyed the law at any point were guilty of all, and the penalty for breaking God's law is death and condemnation. So, since no one could keep the law under the Old Covenant, all were under the sentence of its condemnation. However, during the New Testament era, which was born on the day of Pentecost, the New Covenant is an administration of life. The mediator of that New Covenant life said, "I have come to give life and to give it more abundantly. In Him was life, and He is the light of all men," John tells us in the first chapter of his Gospel. The Old Covenant emphasized the formal letter of the law. The law was strictly carried out. There was no exception or pardon if you did not follow the law. And that included the sacrificial system. If you did not offer the appropriate sacrifice, you were condemned by the law and excluded from God's covenantal community, Israel. However, under the New Covenant, life in the Spirit replaces the letter of the law. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We have been given life through the regenerating work and indwelling power of God's Spirit. Under the Old Covenant, there was the glory of God revealed through the face of Moses. And in the New Covenant, that glory now permanently rests upon the countenance of Jesus, the Messiah. Under the Old Covenant, Moses' face was covered so the people could not behold the glory. It was too much for them. And under the New Covenant, God's Shekinah glory is brilliantly unveiled in the face of Jesus Christ, so that we now can approach Him without fear or wincing. And in the presence of His glory, we will be changed from glory to glory. Praise the Lord. Under the Old Testament, Pentecost period, the glory of the Old Covenant was fading and temporary. But under the New Testament Pentecost, the glory remains forever, and it only gets brighter with the passing of time. Under the Old Covenant, there were the ministers. The ministers of the Old Covenant, who were priests, officiating a temporary sacrificial system. Yet under the New Testament that began on the day of Pentecost, we are the ministers of a new covenant, and we offer up spiritual sacrifices, not literal physical ones. The Old Testament law was given and formally began on Mount Sinai when God gave the law of Moses to Israel to give to the people of Israel. Under the New Testament, the law of the gospel, which is faith in Jesus Christ for eternal life, was issued forth and ratified from Mount Zion in Jerusalem. Praise God. Well, when this law was given on the 50th day, which was the Feast of Pentecost, we are told that this law was called the Book of the Covenant, which contained the three aspects of the Torah, the law of Moses, or God's law. There was the civil aspect. There was the ceremonial aspect, and then there was the ethical aspect. The ceremonial, the civil, and the ethical. This Book of the Covenant was then, once it was completed, sprinkled with the blood of sacrifice to show that those under its ordinances could be purified by the blood of atoning sacrifice. Likewise, under the New Covenant, and on the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter proclaimed that through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who shed His blood to remit sin fully, finally, and permanently, we too can find forgiveness of sin. Remember, under the blood of Passover, God spared the Israelites in Egypt from the death angel, provided they sprinkled the lamb's blood on the lintels and doorposts of their dwellings. When they came to Mount Sinai, Moses then sprinkled them with blood on the people and the book. And yet both Moses and Jesus speak of the blood of the covenant. Exodus 24:8, and Jesus said this in Matthew 26:28. Whenever God makes a formal covenant, it must be done so that He can enter into a relationship with those He makes covenant with. And that covenant is always ratified by the shedding of sacrificial blood. Under the old covenant, it was done by the shedding of the designated sacrificial animals, whether it be a lamb, a goat, or even a bull. Under the new covenant, which put an end and fulfilled all the animal sacrifices of the old covenant, we too find the great sacrifice made by Jesus Christ, the one final sacrifice for all mankind. The new covenant people are a people like Israel under the old, who are sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ. And the new covenant commandments have also been, so to speak, sprinkled with the blood of God's final Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see that there are a lot of similar actions and parallels that occurred, and is demonstrated between the Old Testament Pentecost and the New Testament Pentecost. When one looks at this closely, particularly in Exodus 25 through 40, chapters 25 through 40, following the day of Pentecost, God then was given the revelation of the tabernacle of the Lord. And the purpose for the tabernacle was that so the people could approach and worship the Lord through the blood of sacrifice. On the 50th day after the Exodus at Mount Sinai, God established Israel as His covenant people. Not only was the tabernacle and the plan for the tabernacle outlined, but also the establishment of the Levitical priesthood, the sacrificial system, the Sabbath days, and the feast days were given. In these things, the Jewish nation of Israel was taught how they must acceptably approach a holy God in sacrifice, worship, and fellowship as His redeemed and holy people. The details of these things are enumerated and spelled out in the Torah, particularly Exodus chapters 25 through 40, and really the whole book of Leviticus, covering chapters 1 through 27. Well, the New Testament fulfillment of the foreshadowing and types and symbols found in the Old is observed in the teaching of Yeshua and the apostles, which expresses the priesthood of all believers, a priesthood that will last for time and eternity. Remember, in Revelation chapter 5, the redeemed church stands before Jesus, God's Lamb in heaven. And they are worshiping Him as He sits on the throne of God. And they state, "You have redeemed us from every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation to be kings and priests, and we shall rule on the earth." So part of the ministry of the New Testament, of the New Testament believer, is priesthood. Priesthood, offering up spiritual sacrifices in a spiritual house. And these sacrifices are prayer, evangelism, living the crucified life, putting to death the deeds of the flesh, that the Holy Spirit might have the preeminence. We too, like Israel, we too, as the New Testament church, are called a redeemed and holy nation who now approaches God through the perfect life and sacrifice of Jesus Christ by the Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, by the Holy Spirit that He gives us. And so, these spiritual privileges given under the economy of the new covenant are available for all who will simply believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Salvation is a free gift and all that it entails. Now let's talk about the two leavened wave loaves of bread that God required the priests acting on behalf of the people of Israel were to wave before the Lord in the tabernacle and later in the temple. This is an interesting and most distinct ceremony, which God said was to take place on Shavuot, the day of Pentecost. We read earlier in Leviticus 23:17, how the priest was to take two wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah, and they were to be first fruits to the Lord, wave before Him. Notice here that leaven is included in the wave loaf offering. The Lord commands Israel on the day of Pentecost to offer a new meal offering to the Lord. They were to bring out of their dwelling places two wave loaves of 2/10 of fine flour, and they were to be baked with leaven. Now remember, in the feast of Passover and in the feast of unleavened bread, leaven was strictly prohibited. And those who did violate that prohibition were to be excommunicated from the nation of Israel, God's covenant nation. In fact, this warning of excommunication is given throughout the book of Exodus. And so now God is telling them to include leaven in this wave offering. Why? Well, I'm going to leave this as a teaser. And next time we're going to get into the spiritual significance of this inclusion of leaven in the two wave loaves that were to be offered before the Lord on the day of Pentecost. Let us hear from you. We want to hear from you. We earnestly desire to hear feedback from you on our teachings. And we also need your support so that we can continue to take the gospel of Yeshua back to His people, the Jewish people, in the land of Israel, the land where our Lord was born, where He was raised, the land that He loves, and the land He is soon to return to. We need your financial gifts, donations, and support to do that, and to continue this vital teaching from the Word of God on your radio station. Well, until next time, Shalom Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.